Great and wonderful are thy deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, O King of the ages. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord? For thou alone art holy. All nations shall come and worship thee, for thy judgments have been revealed. May we unite in prayer. We thank thee, O gracious Father, that thy dwelling place is with man, that thou art our God, and we are thy people. We give thee thanks that amidst the changing and fearsome panorama of our own times, thou dost stand unchanging and in sovereign control of the world and of history. We thank thee that our times are in thy hands. We are grateful also that thou art readily accessible to all who call upon thee in sincere trust. We have our questionings. Sometimes we rebel against the circumstances in which our lives are set. But always thou dost stand in the mystery, and when the veil is lifted, we see a cross. And so we are better able to bear our burdens because thou dost bear them with us and for us. Be merciful, we pray thee, toward those whose hearts are anxious and fearful. Comfort those who are carrying in their hearts a great grief. Strengthen the discouraged. Forgive the sinful. Forgive us all. Bless this service of our worship, and bless all who love thee and worship thee everywhere. Unite our witness to that of all of thy people to make one powerful worldwide testimony to the blessed gospel of life eternal. To the glory of Christ, our Redeemer, in whose name we offer our prayer. Amen. It is a personal privilege for me to present to you our speaker for this morning. He is Dr. John Shepherd, with whom I was associated working together in the same institution in the city of Fukuoka, Japan. He has been a missionary to Japan for several years. He was born in Brazil, where his parents were serving as missionaries. His father, in later years, was professor of New Testament at New Orleans Baptist Seminary. Dr. Shepherd has degrees from Mississippi College, Vanderbilt University, and 3 degrees from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, the highest of which is the Doctor of Theology degree. It is a pleasure to present him to you at this time.
I read from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter, and the first 3 verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to anoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And from the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, beginning with the first verse. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Japanese is an ideographic language. That is, the characters in the Japanese language represent certain meanings in themselves. And the word crisis in Japanese is made up of two characters, one of which means danger, the other, opportunity. It seems to me that this dual meaning of the word crisis, as it is in Japanese, this paradoxical meaning, gives an interesting insight into the nature of our times, an insight which should provoke particularly among Christians some deep thought. For indeed, if on the one hand this is an age of unprecedented danger, where the push of a few buttons might destroy most of what we value, and with it most of us, it is also a time of unprecedented opportunity, where a world of unimaginable possibilities is aching to be born. This paradoxical nature of our times was brought home to me forcefully a few weeks ago as I was making a trip from my home in Japan to Bangkok in Thailand. The flight on the tremendous jetliner from Hong Kong to Bangkok required approximately 2 hours for the little more than 1,000 miles. As we flew 6 miles above the Earth's surface, the announcement came on the loudspeaker of the plane, we are now passing over Laos. My mind quickly turned to the struggle going on in that tiny country, that strip of land, of jungle, between Vietnam and Thailand, a country so small that we passed over it in a matter of a few moments. Until recently, almost unknown, Little Laos had now become world news because it had become the latest scene in the continuing struggle between the forces of communism and the West. Perhaps only a few people of Laos actually understood in any real sense the meaning of the struggle, but there it was, bearing testimony that every small corner of the world had now become a part of the danger. And yet, I thought as we flew on, it had become a part of the opportunity also. It was true that there were no earth-shaking possibilities in the meeting to which I was flying, but it did involve planning on a project which meant the cooperation of all of our Baptist missions and constituencies in East Asia in the training of evangelists to all the countries in that area. Thus, the plane, which in one sense symbolized to me the speed with which destruction and death might be brought to every part of the world, at the same time brought to mind the same speed with which, in our age, good things might be taken also. For indeed, a few years ago, though such a project would have not been impossible, it certainly would have been infinitely more difficult. In the few weeks in which I have been in America since my return from Japan, I have been impressed and not a little troubled by the excessive concern with the danger involved in the present crisis. All the talk about bomb shelters and fallout radiation, and what to do about neighbors who might try to force themselves into your shelter. Some have even said that I've come home at the wrong time, that I should have stayed in Japan. And a friend of mine in Washington, in a recent letter, has even seriously suggested immigration to Brazil before December. Now, I don't mean to say that we as Christians should ignore the clear and present danger and its tragic possibilities. Certainly, the Bible speaks many times of troubled times and of the trials and tribulations that we must endure before the end. And certainly the present crisis presents not only the obvious physical danger, but moral and spiritual dangers as well. The excessive concern with personal safety, which undermines social concern. The despair of the future, which we see on every hand and which destroys moral conviction and leads to a devil-may-care outlook among so many. And in terms of our world mission, the deep-seated mistrust, the hatred, which so often can become a barrier among people and a barrier to the progress and penetration of the gospel. Certainly, we as Christians must face and face up to dangers undreamed of even a generation ago in our quickly changing world. What I wish to say here, however, is that the more important side of this dual meaning of the word crisis, certainly the dominant word from the point of view of the Christian faith, is not danger, but opportunity. The writer of Isaiah lived in a troubled time for Israel, but he saw that God would comfort and redeem his people, that there was to be beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The author of the book of Revelation, living again in the midst of severe persecution and suffering, was given the vision of a new heaven and a new earth, where there would be no death, no sorrow, no suffering, no pain. It is from this perspective of a faith that we need to see the opportunities in the midst of the danger and to act upon them creatively and constructively in the Spirit of Christ. Such opportunities are many, but here I mention only two or three briefly. The first, of course, is to live courageously and confidently as Christians. to demonstrate a faith and love which endure all things in the midst of changing conditions and opinions. During the crisis last year in Japan, at the time of the signing of the security treaty, there was a great deal of turmoil and confusion at our school. For several days, classes were suspended as demonstrations were held against the government. The constant agitation disturbed many students who were seeking a reasoned and reasonable solution to the problem. In the midst of the confusion, the school authorities decided that, though all else was disrupted, chapel services must be continued. Though there was an opposition from the turbulent element among the students, at the proper time, on that day, the chapel bell sounded, and the professor who was presiding announced that the chapel service would begin. There was a spontaneous applause from the small group of students who had gathered. They were encouraged to experience something that endures in the midst of crisis. A second opportunity that is peculiar to our times involves the widespread contacts which we have in our day among peoples from many nations. A few days ago, a Japanese colleague of mine on the faculty of our school in Japan was visiting me here for a few days and went with me to a meeting of the Rotary Club in Wake Forest. In this small group of men, he met several men who had been in Japan, who had lived in Japan, perhaps in the service, and one young doctor who spoke to him in Japanese and told him of a book which his wife was writing on some aspect of art in Japan. Think what these contacts and this interpenetration of cultures can mean for the dissemination of the gospel, of the possibilities for communication of our faith to the thousands of foreign students here in America alone. This is a possibility which was not with us only a few years ago, an opportunity which we have in a peculiar sense in our time. One more example of the opportunities of our day will have to suffice. The social and political convulsions which are shaking every part of the world, particularly in Asia and Africa. They are usually regarded as obstacles to the spread of the gospel, but need they be so? As long as our approach follows the line of old-time colonialism, that is, of unilateral missionary control, yes. But what if we help the Asians and the Africans in their own ways to bring the light of the gospel to bear on these movements and impulses? Could these national aspirations not then become avenues rather than obstacles to the gospel? A few weeks ago, representatives from Baptist constituencies in 14 Asian nations met in Tokyo for the Asian Baptist Youth Congress. Perhaps you read of this in your Baptist newspapers. In this Congress, they considered, under the theme, the gospel, the power of God, how they might bring the good news of Christ to bear in their various situations, and how to encourage and inspire each other in Christian love and fellowship. The thing that impressed me was that their concern about what they could do as Asians in their Asian situations. It seems to me that such a meeting represents a great hope, a great opportunity for the gospel in our day. There's one more word that must be said, and it is the final word. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. For after all, these are not our opportunities at all, but God's. Some of you know the motion picture made by Stanley Kramer a few years ago, based upon Neville Shute's story On the Beach, dealing with the last days of human life after the Great Atomic War. In one scene, Kramer depicts a street meeting of the Salvation Army on the streets of Melbourne, over the meeting place of which is stretched a large banner on which are written the words, "There is yet time, brother." At the end of the picture, as the camera sweeps the now deserted streets, Kramer comes back finally to that sign, "There is yet time, brother," as a bleak and ironic warning to those who have eyes to see. We, of course, can appreciate the significance of that warning. It is all too real and necessary. And yet, to it, we would have to add the dimension of faith. Our times are in His hands. God grant us each day that confidence and hope in Him that will enable us to redeem the time, to face bravely the dangers, and accept with joy the opportunities that come to us in our day, to His honor and glory. Let us pray. Our Father, we would acknowledge Thy sovereignty in our lives and over all things. Prepare our hearts and strengthen our spirits that we may show forth faith and confidence in the midst of fear and despair. For we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.